Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. If through some miraculous means you were to learn that Jesus Christ would never return to take His own to be with Him throughout eternity, what would keep you from turning away from the gospel and even renouncing it as fraudulent? Obviously, you are not going to embrace that idea, since it would destroy the very basis of our hope in Christ and contradict dozens and dozens of biblical passages. We know Jesus is going to return to carry the saved to be with Him forever. Is that not what Jesus told His disciples? In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14:2-3. The Apostle Peter affirmed, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." 2 Peter 3:10. Christianity would lose its meaning and its hold on great numbers of people if the Lord were not going to come a second time. The controversy between staunch believers and liberals of all persuasions is the fact of the Lord's second coming. Most liberals do not expect the Lord to return bodily to claim His own. They believe in some sort of spiritual return, whatever that means. But one of the major controversies in the religious world, especially between premillennialists and non-premillennialists, relates to the time of the Lord's second coming. For many years, teachers have ignored the Bible's teaching on the time of the Lord's second coming and have set dates for that great event. Tragically, everyone who has set a date has been proved to be wrong, inexcusably wrong. I almost said they were embarrassed by their having missed the date of the Lord's return, but that would not always be the case. The false prophets set the date, miss it, never or almost never apologize for missing it, and then set another date. I could give you dozens and dozens of examples of those preachers and theologians who were foolish enough to set dates for the Lord's second coming. But I shall give you just one, and then we shall examine the question, when is Christ coming? In 1920, a man named J.F. Rutherford wrote a little book with the title, Millions Now Living Will Never Die. Rutherford says that many preachers will do their best to prevent people from reading his book. Page 7. Both Rutherford and all readers would have been better served if the book had never been written. Rutherford writes of the various events which will accompany the Lord's return and then says, "These things shall take place within the time of the present generation. And therefore there are millions of people now living on earth who will see them take place." Page 12. Please remember that the book was written in 1920. Are millions still living who will never die? Recently, the Chattanooga Times Press, July 4, 2001, published an advertisement headed, "Christ is coming very soon." Page B9. Some questions on this topic are in order. How soon is very soon? This year? Next year? 10 years from now? Where did the people who paid for the article learn about the time of the Lord's coming? If Jesus, the apostles, and the angels in heaven did not know the time of the Lord's return, how do modern preachers imagine they can determine the time? Do the people who set dates, even within a broad framework, explain their errors when their dates are shown to be wrong? Have you noticed that very few of the false prophets ever apologize when they are wrong? My friends, nobody believes more strongly than I in the Lord's second coming, unless they have greater knowledge and greater faith. But I do not know when He is coming again. Neither do you. Neither does Jack Van Impe, nor Hal Lindsey, nor Tim LaHaye, nor Chuck Missler, nor anyone else. Books on the second coming and the end of the age by some of these men are deceptive and unscriptural. They are deceptive because they make people believe the authors know when the Lord is returning. They are unscriptural because they contradict the explicit teaching of the Bible. John Hagee's book, Beginning of the End, says no other event in history underscores the Messiah's second coming more than the assassination of one of the greatest men of our age, Yitzhak Rabin. Page 9 of the introduction. Jerry Johnston's book has the title, The Last Days of Planet Earth. If we are in the last days of planet Earth, how many more days are left? Can we judge by the events that are occurring in our world? Jerry Johnston answers in the affirmative. But he does not know more about the time of the Lord's second coming than anyone else. Ed Hineson's book, Final Signs, deals with what he calls amazing prophecies of end times. Ed Dobson's book, The End, Why Jesus Could Return by AD 2000, based his views of the Lord's return on the events predicted in Matthew 24. Somewhere along the line, he missed some very important ideas. The Lord did not come in the year 2000. A group of theologians, Don McIlvaney, Dave Rees, Chuck Missler, Phil Arms, Lester Summerall, and J.R. Church, joined in the writing of a book entitled Earth's Final Days. The book takes positions that directly contradict the plain teaching of the Bible. If you want to find the information to counteract the false teachings of these books I have mentioned, I recommend you read R.C. Sproul's book, The Last Days According to Jesus, Richard Kyle's book, The Last Days Are Here Again, The History of the End Times, William Allner's book, Soothsayers of the Second Advent, and Richard Aubain's book, End Time Visions, The Road to Armageddon. You may not agree with all these last four books teach, but you will find an excellent antidote to the dispensational propaganda of the other books. Now let us return to the advertisement in the Chattanooga Times Free Press. The advertisement is captioned, Christ is coming very soon. The introduction says the evidence for the soon return of Jesus Christ is overwhelming. It could be any moment. One scholar lists 167 converging clues just in the last few years of this millennium. Page B9. The article lists just 8 of the 167 clues, and I shall plan to examine each of them in today's lesson and in future lessons. But first, let us take a look at the statements made in the introduction to the advertisement. If the evidence for the Lord's soon return is overwhelming, then surely intelligent men ought to be able to figure out the exact date. But Jesus, the apostles Peter and Paul, said Jesus would come as a thief in the night. The evidence must not be quite so overwhelming as the sponsors of the advertisement think. One scholar, so the advertisement says, found 167 clues just in the past few years of this millennium. If there are 167 clues, we ought to have a good idea about the time of the Lord's return. But nobody knows within a million years the time of Christ's second coming. Jesus said very plainly, "But of that day and hour no man knows, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only." Matthew 24:36. It borders on blasphemy for men to claim to know when the Lord Jesus Christ strongly affirmed it is not possible for them to know. I would be afraid to take a position contrary to the plain words of the Son of God. The very first clue to Christ's second coming, according to the advertisement, is Israel's rebirth. Please listen to the advertisement statements. As Jesus prophesied, the Jews were scattered during the Jewish-Roman War of AD 70, Luke 21:24. Also prophesied to occur before Christ's return, the nation of Israel was miraculously reborn on May the 14th, 1948. Israel is called God's time clock. Page B9. This brief excerpt raises a number of questions. Please think about these questions. Why would someone argue that the nation of Israel was miraculously reborn on May the 14th, 1948? What was miraculous about the birth, not rebirth, of the nation of Israel? who has called Israel God's time clock? The Bible certainly does not use that kind of language. Many of the popular writers on end times, the so-called prophecy teachers, dogmatically maintain that Israel's rebirth, to use their language, is the most powerful sign that Jesus is coming soon. Richard Aubain's book, End Time Visions, The Road to Armageddon, quotes Dave Hunt as saying that Israel's statehood is an irrefutable sign that we are living in the last days. Page 293. Tim LaHaye, a very prolific writer on end time themes, asserts that Israel's current status as an independent nation is the super sign of Christ's soon return. Page 294. Richard Kyle's book, The Last Days Are Here Again, quotes William Orr of the Bible Institute of Los Angeles as affirming, "There isn't the slightest doubt but that the emergence of the nation of Israel among the family of nations is the greatest piece of prophetic news that we have had in the 20th century. Page 124. Jerry Falwell argues that the restoration of the nation of Israel is the single greatest sign indicating the imminent return of Christ. Page 125. Hal Lindsey used to argue, but does not anymore, that the rapture would occur one generation after the establishment of Israel as an independent nation. Most writers seem to believe, as Hal Lindsey did, that one generation was 40 years. Do you understand now why Edgar Whisnant wrote his little book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Occur in 88? Of course, all 88 reasons were wrong. But being wrong has never stopped any of these so-called prophecy teachers, including Hal Lindsey and John Hagee. Incidentally, the 40 years of the generation after Israel became a modern nation have passed, and the Lord has not come. Could the prophecy teachers be wrong? Will they learn from their mistakes and quit talking about the overwhelming evidence for the Lord's soon return? I do not wish to be pessimistic, but they are not going to give up their meal tickets. Hal Lindsey and other end-time teachers claim to base their views of the rebirth of Israel and the imminent coming of Christ on our Lord's discourse on the Mount of Olives. Please listen to our Lord's words. "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know it is near, even at your doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass, but my word shall not pass away." Matthew 24:32-35. Richard Kyle asks, "But what is meant by the fig tree putting out leaves?" Hal Lindsey insists that putting out leaves on the fig tree meant the return of Israel to its homeland in 1948. Page 32. According to Kyle, Lindsey wrote in The Late Great Planet Earth, "When the Jewish people, after nearly 2,000 years of exile, became a nation on May the 4th, 1948, the fig tree put forth its first leaves." Page 119. Lindsey has backtracked on some of his earlier predictions, but he still basically maintains the same false doctrine about the Lord's second coming. What message was Hal Lindsey trying to get across when he wrote The Terminal Generation in 1976 and The 1980s Countdown to Armageddon in 1981? In the former book, he wrote, "We are in the process of completing the prophecies of the Bible." Page 1 of the introduction. In the latter book, Lindsey says without any shame, "The decade of the 1980s could very well be the last decade of history as we know it." Page 1 of the introduction. Hal Lindsey's predictions lack both scriptural and reasonable bases. They border on the ridiculous. If the term "these things" in the Olivet Discourse referred to end-time events, and the parable of the fig tree teaches that they will happen within one generation, usually considered 40 years, we have some very serious problems with the sacred text. Let me put it as bluntly as I am able. Hal Lindsey's interpretation of the parable of the fig tree is mistaken, or something has gone wrong with the Lord's time clock. Which do you think it is, Lindsay's interpretation or God's time clock? When are the time setters going to learn not to misuse and abuse the Scripture? Should they not be humble enough to say, "We do not know within a million years the time of the Lord's return"? When I was a college senior, modern Israel became a nation. I remember some of the excitement among Jews and others that Israel had been made an independent country. But the fact that Israel became an independent nation in 1948 has no bearing, absolutely no bearing, on end-time events. Think about the implications of Hal Lindsay's views. If the birth of the modern nation of Israel has any bearing on the time of our Lord's return, devout students of the Bible ought to be able to set a date, at least within certain parameters. But when they have tried to set dates, they have fallen flat on their theological faces. For example, W.E. Blackstone, one of the most popular and influential dispensational writers, calculated that the end of the world would come in 1915 or 16, 1926 or 27, or 1934 and 35. Of course, he could not have been using modern Israel's establishment as an independent nation as one of the signs of the Lord's imminent return, since his predictions were made several years before the establishment of modern Israel. Do you understand how absolutely ridiculous all this date-setting is? Can you understand how thousands of people can become discouraged when the end-time teachers miss the date of our Lord's return? Date-setting, or even date-suggesting, is twisting the Scriptures, a very serious error on the part of all who do it. It needs to be stressed that modern Israel has nothing to do with the ancient nation God chose to be His elect nation. That nation disappeared from the face of the earth in A.D. 70 when the mighty Roman army conquered it. It has not been restored. It will not be restored. It has disappeared forever. Then does God have an elect nation? Premillennialists like John Hagee and Hal Lindsay say yes, it is the nation of Israel. Peter gives a different view. Will you please listen? You, that is, members of the body of Christ, are a chosen generation, or elect generation, Greek genos eklekton, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Peter cannot be speaking of fleshly Israel. The nation had been in time past the people of God. They had obtained mercy. Peter unquestionably had in mind the church of the living God, not ancient Israel or modern Israel. My friends, God has nothing in store for Israel that He does not have in store for the rest of humanity. All men, Jews and Gentiles, have to obey the gospel, and all have the same promise when they do. The idea that the parable of the fig tree in Matthew 24 represents the return of Israel to Palestine makes absolutely no sense. Richard A. Baines quotes these words from B.J. Oropesa's book, 99 Reasons Why No One Knows When Christ Will Return. Jesus curses the fig tree so that it can never again bear fruit. He was saying that Israel was spiritually dead. It is difficult to imagine that Israel as a nation is once again represented by the fig tree of Matthew 24, 32 through 34, when Jesus had just cursed the nation forever in Matthew 21, 18 through 20, pages 297 and 298. The truth is, there is not one iota of evidence that the fig tree represents the rebirth of Israel. That is a theory without foundation. As our lesson comes to a close, there are some observations I must make. If any sign, whether an increase in immorality, an explosion of travel, the so-called New World Order, or the increase in earthquakes, points to Christ's second coming, we ought to be able to guess within a few years, or at least a few decades, of the time of the Lord's return. Everyone who has read the so-called Signs of the Times has misread them. William Miller thought the signs pointed to the year 1843 or 1844. Others have set different dates. They have all been wrong, inexcusably wrong. Why give the enemies of Christianity room for criticizing our faith in the Bible? When dispensationalists or others set dates, they are always wrong and always will be. But unbelievers think the Bible is wrong. We do our Lord and His kingdom a great disservice when we set dates. It really does not matter about the date of the Lord's return. Peter explains, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Now please listen to what is of vital importance. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation, or manner of life, and godliness? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and without blemish." 2 Peter 3:10, 11, and 14. The Lord is coming. Whether He comes in our lifetime is not important. Be ready for Him when He comes, if He comes in your lifetime. If He does not come while you are alive on earth, be ready for Him when death overtakes you. Thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.